Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Leah Garvin, known as the Team Whisperer, helping leaders to make managing the easiest part of their job. She is also an author and speaker. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I'm so excited to talk about new managers and things that they need and how that looks for leadership. Before we get there, tell us a little bit about either your leadership story or how you came into leadership.
Yeah. So I spent the bulk of my career working in the corporate world, working in big tech primarily from Microsoft to Apple to Google. And in those companies, I was doing team operations and program management in the product side. So, you know, now a lot of my work blends a little bit more with kind of HR and the personnel side, but I actually came from working really deep within product teams. And in that work, really being responsible for helping ensure the work gets done on time, risk management, right? Yeah. All the things around how are we going to get things done? I started to notice the common theme that, you know, in these big companies where they had all the resources in the world, we bring in the best people, you know, it's the highest kind of like criteria to get a job in these companies. There was still inefficiencies in how things are getting done and miscommunication.
Right.
And work just felt so much harder than it needed to. And so I started to take a new approach with how I did my job, which was not just, you know, share a schedule and say, hey, we got to get it done, but really bring in communication and leadership skills and kind of some of these softer skills into the way that I did program management and team operations. And I found that quickly the tensions on teams and the miscommunications and the inefficiencies started to fall away. And so I started to do more of that. And I really kind of built my own brand around having a way more people first approach to how we were getting things done. Now I'll say doing that within engineering companies and in tech,
that's tough.
It wasn't always understood. And so after really building a lot of experience doing that within those companies, I wanted to leave and start my own consulting business where now I bring a lot of these strategies to companies big and small, doing keynotes, workshops, trainings, coaching around really how to build great teams and be a great manager.
And it's almost that missing link, right? When you get into those big corporations, sometimes they forget about the culture and training our new leaders and how to build communication. My favorite topic is communication, and most of my listeners know that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be a huge missing link as it comes to building teams.
Yeah.
So your new book, The Manager Playbook, which I just read and I thought was absolutely fabulous, actually outlined some really great strategies for new leaders. So we know a little bit about where it came from and why you did it. What do you feel like some of the struggles are, some of those missing pieces are when it comes to leadership? What do you see most often?
Yeah, I mean, Gallup has reported that the top two reasons people become managers are tenure in your role, so you've been in that job a long time, or past success in your role, so you did a great job. But if those are the top two reasons, what happened to wanting to be a manager or being ready or being trained? And so I think the biggest challenge comes from, you know, folks are asked to completely shift their responsibility, completely shift their mindset, and then not given the resources to do that. And then they're kind of blamed for there being inefficiencies. So, like, there's a real narrative right now that managers are the problem, cut middle managers, you know, managers are causing inefficiencies. And I'm firmly opposed to that. Anyone in any role without being set up for success is not going to do a great job, right? They're not,
agreed.
You know, they're likely to struggle with it. And so I'm really on a mission to reframe this narrative around managers being the problem, because your manager, you know, if they have the greatest impact on your well-being is said, or, you know, the greatest impact on your experience at work, then if we made managers really great and awesome, then look at how that would transform your experience too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think when we, as leaders of companies or within companies, when we don't set someone up well, it's we really can't say that they're the problem, you know? And so mm-hmm. I'm really hoping that this book becomes, you know, the go-to resource for new managers and companies big and small, because I call it a playbook because it really spells out, like you said, step mm-hmm. by step, you know, how do you have these hard conversations? It's yes. not theoretical. It's not academic. It's like, here's some talking points to cover.
Yeah.
You know, here's how to do that. Yeah. Because we're not doing that enough. And then we're leaving it to chance.
Mm-hmm. I want to come back to what you said about that. You know, we blame the middle managers, or we blame yeah. leadership or whatever. And it becomes a blame game and yeah. finger pointing blame game,
yeah.
which is the worst part. And so when I work with clients, which I know that you also talk about as well, is we have to look at the process. What yeah. broke down, which is what you discovered throughout your leadership journey, I think,
yeah.
right? Like
yeah.
you recognize there was a problem here with the process. It's not the people. It's the process. We're missing something. And yeah. training, obviously, a big key piece that's missing. I was fortunate enough to be trained as a leadership training the trainer in my corporate world, which is very rare.
Yeah.
To have
yeah.
that. So I love that you bring up that blame piece, because we have to stop that. That narrative's yeah. got to go, right?
Absolutely. And I love that you brought up process, because, you know, being a team operations person, obviously I'm a fan of process, but not complexity, of simplicity in it, and mm-hmm. reducing steps and removing. And the work that I do with small business owners and founders is around setting up the lightweight processes that their teams need to be able to lead effectively. So like, mm-hmm. how do we communicate decisions? Who makes what decision? How do we track work? How are approvals made? These things that I think we can get so pulled in the weeds, and we think, oh, I don't want to be too corporate. I don't want to have all this process, but having no process creates horrible bottlenecks, keeps you in the weeds, and makes everybody.
It does.
You know, and it's like, usually the people on the receiving end of a process aren't as averse to it. It's the people that mm-hmm. have to like use it. You know, I mean, have to actually put the inputs in. They're like, oh, no one wants this. I find that usually the team that's like boots on the ground, they're really hungry for more clarity. And that's really
yes.
what process is right. What I think we're both saying is
mm-hmm.
anything that you do more than once, she has some steps that you can kind of repeat and know that's the
yeah.
order. And it's not about making 18 million steps. It's about thinking, okay, what's the easiest path to get to where we want to go? How can we all follow that so that we're all moving in the same direction?
And let's be honest, as new leaders, even when, like years ago, when I was a new leader manager, I wanted easy. I
yeah.
didn't want difficult. I want easy. Yeah. Like, give it to me easily, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So in your book, and I'm using your book because there's so many great things for new leaders in there. There's a lot of things in here that, you know, every leader needs to know, but what is that place where we start? I'm a brand new leader, or maybe even I'm a seasoned leader, but I'm coming to a brand new company and I don't know their process. What is the best way to introduce myself as that new leader and also learn how to be that new leader?
Yeah. I love the question. And, you know, we come in sometimes and we feel like we're not that versed in it. We don't want to come in like a bull in a china shop. We kind of want to be humble and build connection. And so I think a mistake a lot of leaders make is coming in too soft. We already know what happens when we come in too strong. No one likes you, right? Everyone gets turned off by that. But
yeah.
I think the flip side is actually like almost just as damaging as we say, hey, I'm new at this. I'm here to learn from you. I don't really, you know, I'm just going to kind of take things in. And what our team really wants is a leader, is someone that has a point of view that's going to help them achieve their career goals, mm-hmm. right? We look at our manager and we say, hey, is that person, are they going to help elevate me? Are they going to help me get where I want to go? And so if we look at our manager and they say, and I talk about this specifically in the new manager playbook of managers saying, you know, coming in really passive, your team member's going to look at you and say, oh no, I'm screwed. I got someone that's not going to help
yeah.
fight for me in a performance review conversation, advocate for my work, get visibility. So what I suggest for new managers is to really start by setting your intention around how you want to lead, kind of think back to the narrative of your career, the wins that you've had, really sort of what is that story that you're bringing to the conversation, and then share that with your team. So say, for example, I became, you know, your manager, I would say, you know, hey, Tara, like, I'd love to share my perspective and what you know, I really value being transparent and candid as a leader. Also really want to be compassionate. And I love you to hold me to that. You know, if you're finding there's moments in which I'm not being as transparent, please, please share feedback with me. Saying things like, I'm really excited to be learning from all of you and have a real vision for where I'm going, where I want to go with this team. Mm-hmm. Then have career conversation with folks early on so that you can, you know, they see that you're really there advocating for them. And I learned that from working with a manager. Back when I worked at Microsoft, I was really working towards getting promoted, wanting to become a manager. And instead of me being the manager, a new person was brought to the team and I was layered. So like, you know, he was on top of me instead of me being the manager. And I was so frustrated about this. I thought, well, okay, great. This is a career setback. I was so, so mad. And then he came in our first one-on-one, he said to me, hey, I know this might be a little bit awkward. You know, I've heard that you were really wanting to be the manager and my goal is to help support you get to where you want to go. And there's a lot of work on the team and there's, you know, and I think it could be really helpful for you to have that advocate that's a little bit, has a more visibility into your work. Mm-hmm. And this ended up being the biggest blessing. Like he ended up championing me, advocating for me. I got promoted shortly after, and it was a real blessing. And it was okay that he was only one rung on the ladder further than me. And I really learned that sometimes we want to be reporting to the CEO or the SVP or these, you know, things, because it sort of has prestige around it. But a lot of times that leader doesn't have time to help develop us and cultivate us and doesn't even notice what we're doing. And that's even more frustrating because
absolutely.
So that was a real lesson that I wanted to share in the book, because that was one of he was actually one of my favorite managers. One of the most, you know, when he came in there just saying, here's how I'm going to help you. And I know that this might be frustrating. And it was game changing in how I approached leading as well.
And I love that he did that, because, you know, even if we link peers, one gets promoted and suddenly they're over you as the manager. Yeah. That can be difficult. So, you know, using that kind of approach can be very helpful. Yeah. Because that can be frustrating for the person who didn't get a promotion. So let's talk about that a little bit. If you and I worked together for 10 years and I suddenly get promoted and now I'm your manager, how can we, as those new managers, those new leaders, help with that transition for the person who didn't, who might be mad, who might be angry, and now I'm leading you? How does that work?
This is a question I get every day, because it's like probably the most common, right? We're in a team and then one person gets the job. And it's something that I would say blew it twice at least. It's like, because the gut instinct is often to say, oh, there's nothing different. I already know you. We're already good. We're already cool. We're already peers. And the reality is it is completely different. We have to shed that belief that it's the same, only I am in charge of your pay now in your career.
It's completely different.
Yeah. One relationship over, new relationship starts today. And that's, we have to start with that. And as that leader, acknowledging it, saying, hey, I know it can feel like we know each other in our work style, but this is a new dynamic. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how to have hard conversations, talk about money, how to give feedback, because we didn't really have that before. It was kind of us against the boss. Now I'm the boss. Like, how do we do this? And in not having that conversation, I was managing at one point someone that was like my work best friend. And that just turned sideways so quickly, because I felt uncomfortable with the new power differential. I felt like I had to overdo it on saying everything was normal. It's fine. And like, hey, I'm going to support. You're going to get promoted next too. And it was like, and I started to see, because I established no authority, she didn't follow anything I was asking her to do. So that started to chip away at respect and the friendships. And I was like, two challenges I was having.
Then
we didn't talk about how to navigate these hard conversations at all. And when I had to give her feedback, you know, eventually, she said like, that it's crazy. I'm being so mean. I'm going to go to HR. And it was like one of these situations that just blew up when, you know, I was actually just asking her like what the status of a project was, but she couldn't, she had never, you know, and I talked about that on my podcast, Managing Made Simple, actually soon to be renamed the New Manager Playbook. So check out
the
New Manager Playbook podcast. I did an episode on that recently of, you know, the why we can get so afraid of feedback because of these things that people can say and threaten. And a lot of times it's because we didn't tee it up in the right way. you know.
Yeah. And I love that you bring up that open communication piece, because that's something I advocate for as well. If we know how people will handle information, if we know how that they will handle feedback or how they want to be told about feedback, some people want to give it to me frank. Other people, maybe it's a little different on their personality. We need to be softer. And other people, it's just be strong. Mm-hmm. But without knowing or asking, especially if your peers and one's now a manager, like you said, it's really about understanding what that dynamic now does look like, because it is different.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
Yeah. And I mean, I know your listeners are global, you know, from all over the world. And it's really important to remember when we're managing a global team, a team of many different generations, different time zones, different languages, and which we probably are one of those dimensions I said. Yes, that's included, right. And so we cannot assume that what works for me is going to work for someone else. We have no idea, right? Like we might think everyone's motivated by money. Everything's so expensive, of course. It's like, no, not everyone's motivated by money. Or everyone wants, you know, the compliment sandwich, you know, where I say one good thing, one, you know, no.
I know that one.
Yeah. Right. And so the only way we learn that is by talking to our team members and asking them, you know, what do they think? And then also giving them some freedom and flexibility, right? If someone says, I'm only, you know, motivated by this one thing, like they're allowed to have, you know, that can shift too, and not saying, well, you said, and what's wrong, you know, like letting people be multidimensional and having a little grace there. I think sometimes we can be worried that if we get this information and we can't uphold it, then we're going to, it's like worse to do that. And especially with how people like to be rewarded. You know, like, hey, you know, you said you really want that promotion. If I can't get you there, like I don't have any options. And one thing that we can do in that case is say like, hey, I know you're really working towards a promotion and that's, you know, about a year or two out. While we're working towards that, here are some ways that I'm helping you get there. Here's some ways I can incentivize you along the way. So you like hold space for that goal while also doing kind of incremental steps towards it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. If we can't talk about the promotion, there's no point, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I love that you also brought up the recognition piece, because I've had a couple people on recently who, you do have to ask people how they want to be recognized. As a new leader, you don't know that Tara and Leah want to be recognized differently. Leah wants the public. Tara wants, you know, to just be one-on-one or whatever that looks like for your team. And I think it's really important that as a new leader, you get to understand that about your people and really helping them understand, like, this is how I want to be recognized or rewarded or, you know, go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, this can all feel like a lot of stuff to remember. I actually have a freebie on my website, this action tracker of like 10 things you can do every week to show up as a good manager. So that's
excellent.com/action tracker,
because it's small things like recognizing, like saying thank you. And I think having this checklist of like, hey, like, have I recognized someone? Maybe you do these 10 in a month, right? Still very good. We can forget and we can think, oh, my style is no news is good news. My style is this. And forgetting that everyone does respond to things differently. So like, I think that's why having something to refer back to, and that's why I put that together for folks was, well, what are the things that in general, if you do these things, you're on the right track. So again, that's at leahgarver.com/action tracker for folks to check out.
That's excellent, because as new leaders, and I remember this many, many years ago, I don't want to age myself, so I'm not going to say anything, but just how much comes at you as a new leader, and you're trying to navigate just the leadership space, but also all the demands coming at you from upper management, and then also trying to manage a team, and it's just overwhelming. Yeah. Are there those key elements that we just, I mean, besides obviously knowing who our team is, key elements that we really need to keep in place? You had mentioned vision earlier. Is that something that you would suggest as well?
Yeah, I think the, you know, understanding the, where the company is going, where your broader team's going, and how your team fits into the picture is really, really critical. And I often talk about that in context of creating or fueling a sense of purpose for people. Mm-hmm. And it's also helping, it helps motivate folks. I think a lot of times we can just look at our immediate job and feel like, I'm bored of this. Why am I doing this? I don't care anymore. Like, what does it matter? And mm-hmm. that feeling over time really fuels that disengagement we're seeing so much right now. And, I working in program management, a lot of that work can feel behind the scenes, very tactical. Like, people are like, why are you here in some meetings like that? And so, like, I dealt with that with my teams a lot of, having someone come to me and say, I had a team member come to me and say, my job is so tactical. I feel like I'm just a task babysitter. And mm-hmm. I said, well, if that's how you're talking about it, that's how you're going to approach it, how people respond to you. Like, you got to lose that, label right now. And, this was within, Google, where there was a real premium put on like kind of mapping out your approach on, really being obviously strategic. Being in a tactical role is not going to get that person to the role they want to get to.
Right.
So I said, when you're feeling that way, it's like, you're selling yourself short. And so mm-hmm. I said to her, this is how I see a program manager, right? You're the connective tissue between product and marketing and engineering and sales and whoever, and really seeing the whole picture, mitigating risk, managing it, making sure everyone is on the same page. We're all moving towards the same deadline. Like, that's one of the most strategic roles, right? And so mm-hmm. how can you do more work to show that visibility across? Mm-hmm. And so by kind of painting that picture of the vision, both for our team, but also for her role in general, then she started creating documents of like, okay, how am I going to approach this project? Or creating recaps after something was finished and saying what went well and what could be improved and how they're going to inform that for the future. And it just changes your whole lens on it. And it mm-hmm. allows us to just anchor ourselves into like, the work matters. It doesn't really, it could be seeming very administrative, or like in the front of the, most high visibility role, but it's on us as leaders to help people see that their job matters, even if it doesn't have that like kind of automatic spotlight that some roles do have.
Yeah, I love making sure people understand their purpose. When I talk to business owners, I'm like, do your people know their purpose? Like, if they're not doing what you want them to do every day, do they know why they come in every day?
Yeah.
Let's make sure they have that sense of purpose and value, and they will come in and show up differently. And you're right. It's the same thing for leaders. We need to reframe to understand our purpose in the organization so that we can then lead by example for our team behind that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if we don't know, that goes back to like us getting upskilled and figuring out like, well, how does it fit together? There's some work then to do to kind of look across your management chain or across the company strategy. If you're setting the strategy, you probably know what you're doing, but I think that it's a gap that I see for newer managers for sure. And oftentimes with middle managers, like, they aren't totally sure how it all fits in, or maybe they don't agree with the direction of it, or they don't like, and so like they have trouble connecting those dots for the team. That's another thing, is like, you are, by taking on that role of a leader, as a manager, you are signing up to really understanding that and learning that.
Absolutely.
And doing that work.
And even showcasing that to your team and helping them understand it. It's like the leadership down type thing. I just want to do a quick switch here. If I'm a new leader and you're my leader, I'm a new manager here, never done this before, and you're my leader, what can leaders do to help their new managers? Like, so have a smoother transition, so it's not just go.
Totally. So I think obviously we're both fans of giving folks coaching and training so they feel set up for success. Along with that, giving them space to delegate. This is one that if I could tell every single manager of managers to do this is what's going to really, I think, make or break that early confidence around them, offloading things to their team and really, kind of cultivating their own leadership within their team. I was on a team where I was supposed to plan this big demo event, and it gives me so much anxiety, like panic, it's so many moving parts. What if no one comes to it?
Yeah.
And so I had a team member, who loved planning events. It was the perfect thing to delegate, perfect thing to hand off. And she was like, that was her zone of genius. And so I thought, okay, I don't like doing this. She loves it. This is the greatest thing to delegate. But the problem was the event was very, very high stakes to our VP of our team. It was really high visibility. And my manager was getting a lot of pressure from her boss, the VP, to constantly have updates. And so what happened was she would come to me every 5 minutes asking a question, and then I would go to my team member, and it created this tension between my team member and I. She was like, you don't even want to do this. Like, why are you asking me? And so I had to actually go back to my manager and manage up and say, hey, you know, this was a really great project to delegate because she loves this work and it's really not my, you know, my sweet spot or whatever, my, you know, expertise. And so here's the plan. We're going to meet about every Wednesday and I'll give you an update, you know, right after that. And does that work for that frequency? And I think, you know, had I been on the other side of that, I would have said to my manager, from the outside, like, hey, when you're going to promote someone into being a manager, you know, set expectations with them around communication, but you got to give them space to do that. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times middle managers don't delegate things because they're afraid they might be asked a question and caught off guard and not be able to respond. And so they just like hold on to everything tight and they're in all the meetings with their team members. Yeah. But instead, what if we asked our teams, hey, who on your team is working on this thing? Or what's the, you know, curious, like, what's the mechanism for you being up to speed? And can we meet after that? Or mm-hmm. like kind of assuming they're going to be offloading some of this. Cause I think we sort of go to the shorthand. We go to the next immediate person. We're like, tell me everything about this, you know? And I don't think they should necessarily leapfrog you either. If you're, you know, trying to optimize your time, but like, understand that just as you are trying to offload stuff to your team, that your team member can't know everything about everyone's projects. Mm-hmm. Even if they only have like three people on their team, that's three times the work they got to keep in their minds, right? Yeah. So, and it especially is true when the team is larger.
Oh, for sure. I was recently talking to a client who is the business owner about delegating and knowing you don't have to be in every single meeting. Yeah. You know, if you need a summary, ask them to shoot you a summary by email or have that quick 5-second conversation. But delegation can be a leader's best friend. It really can. And you're right. That upper level needs to recognize that the next level is doing the same thing as them by delegating and down. Yeah. Find a way to figure out through communication, what is that communication to tell you what's going on with the project rather than it being like what you had to deal with going back and forth all the time.
Yeah. And I just want to underscore your point on not having to be in every meeting, because when I go into companies, what I see in the kind of the challenge that they're bringing me in to resolve is around time management and people feeling burned out and underwater. What I see more often than not is exactly what you said, that the manager is in all the same meetings as their team members. And that, and so right away when we can fix that, now the manager gets time and their team members are stepping up more. And so this is one of the places I always start. And I think it's something that it can be, it's about retraining your team around what their really role is supposed to be when they're not in meetings, setting expectations about how to get informed, helping that team member feel the teams you're offloading it to feel confident, right? They might want the manager there because they were helping to field some of the hard questions, but all that creates is like, you know, five people doing, you know, the job that one person could be doing. Right. And so it's a huge, I think there's not enough awareness of the intersection between like burnout, time management, delegating, lack of accountability, like all those.
Yes, that's a big mix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think you and I could do a whole other podcast on that. I really do, because it's a huge topic in itself. Yeah. But we need to wrap up today. So I'm going to ask you, could you tell us if we have our new leaders out there, because we do have aspiring and new leaders listening, if you had to give them that next step or that piece of advice, what would you tell them?
Yeah. I would tell them that, you know, everyone is struggling with the things that you're struggling with. These are things that I think you and I, Tara, hear every single day and felt as leaders ourselves, right?
Absolutely.
Within companies that we are in. And so there's nothing wrong with you and you don't have to figure it out yourself. I think probably what you and I also see is there's a belief that like, because I'm just dealing with people and I know people, I know how to talk to people, like we should just know this already. We should just be able to figure it out. And the problem is how long it's taking us to figure out, like that we could actually collapse time and be so much more effective faster by getting the support. And so whether that's reaching out to a coach, finding a mentor, getting training internally, participating in trainings, you know, that your company offers, listening to shows like these, getting books, I think actually taking a few steps to improve the situation, to learn some of these skills is going to just accelerate your momentum and your kind of sense of satisfaction in your job.
I 100% agree. I think that is a great way to end the show. I mean, there's so many things out there that can help people develop skills beyond the traditional ways of doing it, right? If our audience did want to find you online, I know you gave the link for the one action plan, but even for your books, how's best to connect with you?
Yes, definitely. So check out leahgarvin.com. That's LIAGARVIN.com. And you can get my book there, The New Manager Playbook. That action tracker was leahgarvin.com/action tracker. And my podcast, again, when it comes out, it'll be called The New Manager Playbook Podcast, where I talk about, you know, these different areas we dove into in depth. So I'll do an episode on delegating, on feedback, on navigating conflict, all of that. Or connect with me on LinkedIn. I love to hear from folks. What resonated with you from the conversation?
Excellent. Thank you so much again. And great tips and information for new leaders. Great book. Like I said, everybody, I've read it. It's amazing. Wish I had it so many years ago. Thank you again, Leah, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
A thank you, of course, to our audience. We hope you are able to gain some valuable information or tips today from Leah. If you are a leader looking to further develop yourself through coaching, consulting, or community, or perhaps you want to be a leader one day and wish to learn more about our Rise to Leadership program, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.